Can I please get to the point here?
And the sign outside says cookie-ish.
You're not helping. Okay.
That's not my
job. Stop trying by not helping. Stop making things worse by trying to make them better.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my man James, Tape Leg Grayling, and I talk about the first quarter of the season. We find a kale we actually both like. We discuss when to stop play for head injuries and points. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 122 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Going on, Avalanche fans. Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He over there across the table is James Tape Leg Grayling.
Right here.
And I'm JV, and I'm sitting on this side of the table.
How you doing?
And this is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Hey.
I'm doing great.
Have you been watching Avalanche hockey on your television?
Yeah.
Well, that makes one of us.
Things are getting ugly.
Things are getting way ugly. Okay. I'm gonna throw out this the disclaimer.
Okay.
All right. I have at work, we have
DirecTV.
DirecTV.
Yes.
And on occasion, I have had chances to watch that DirecTV with the Colorado Avalanche on. Last night, I went and picked up some ribs, and I was going to just take them all to go and take them home. And then I saw that they had the Avalanche game on. I was like, give me a plate. I'm sitting.
I'm good.
Sitting and watching for a bit.
We went to Blake Street Tavern for our softball banquet, mm-hmm. end of year banquet. They had the game on there as well. That was one of the approved places that can stream the games. And your restaurant place then too.
Well, I mean, it's sure.
But they had DirecTV.
Or they had DirecTV. Okay. I'm guessing they had DirecTV. Here's the, so I feel like we're kind of like having to like map out all the locations. Like
this is
like,
not good.
Like this is like Delta Force, but for Avs Hockey.
Now we have a lawsuit involved now. Let's see, Altitude claiming that Comcast wants to put them out of business, I believe is that how that's going?
Really?
Something like that.
Yeah. That's what Comcast wants. They want them out of business.
Because without Avalanche, Comcast is definitely going to go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it's the other way. I don't know.
Other way around.
It's confusing.
Because what Comcast really wants is less channels.
Right. Yeah, because they don't have enough already.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I've had a couple people share a couple things with me, and that has been very helpful in being able to watch the hockey.
I can't.
Yeah.
So, I did watch much of the 9-4 game, but it was also during the film fest.
Right.
And so, like when they scored like 4 goals in a very short amount of time, I happened to be at the sound console at the time and had to rush back and it was like, ah, so I've been able to watch highlights.
That was a good hockey game right there. They were scoring that hockey puck.
Hey, we're getting a little bit of our head of our,
I know
you're ahead of ourselves. God, I'm,
how dare.
I think in the last podcast, I said that I was a terrible podcaster.
And that was funny.
I'm just going to say, by the way, I'm a horrendous podcaster. Okay.
Can I clarify that, please?
Yeah. Can I just
let me quantify sure this a
understand
little bit.
I am a horrendous podcaster. So, for all of you new people, listening to the Avs Hockey podcast, welcome. Mm-hmm. And I am terrible at this. Horrendous, actually.
Can I say just two things that I keep forgetting to say before we.
Sure.
Can I do that?
I'm a little nervous.
The girl's voice at the beginning of the show.
Uh-huh.
That's my daughter.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we've mentioned this maybe once or twice, but what happens when we do this show is we do this part and then we record the opening and I never remember to mention that. So that's my oldest daughter, Evie. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give her a shout out because she loves listening to the show.
Hey,
so there's that. Hi, Evie Grace. And then the other thing
does Jimmy D
not like to listen to the show. She's not that into hockey. Evie loves hockey. They both love playing Avs Twitter Psychic though. So something's going right with their being raised.
Excellent.
In our home. The other part is Avs and hockey stuff. That is an ode to Chuck Barris, who is the former host of the Gong Show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how old I am, how old we are a little bit.
I didn't know that.
Have I told you that?
No, you haven't told me that.
My dad and I used to love watching the Gong Show.
Okay.
And when they'd kick out to commercial every time, it'd be like, we'll be right back with more stuff right after this. So it's just something I thought I'd integrate. So
I like it.
Abs and hockey stuff. So I didn't know that. I just wanted to put that out there for those of you that are new or never knew that. Those are those two things. Thank you for letting me interrupt.
Yeah, no problem. My thing is just that I'm terrible. Okay.
Can I reiterate?
Just reiterate that? Okay. So
stop it.
Jersey numbers. We're up to episode 122 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche and stuff. And number 22.
22s. I clicked on this the other day.
Mm-hmm. There are 22 players that have worn 22.
How appropriate. Does that include the Quebec dudes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Going back to 1980 with Francois Lacombe. Why are you shaking your head? That's really his name, Francois Lacombe.
I bet you he was good at hockey.
I didn't look it up at all. Jean Stewart.
You tried a little too hard on that one.
What? Reg Tomei.
Steve Konowalczyk.
Bernie Sanders.
What if a Russian like Andre Kovalenko played for the Quebec Nordiques? Would you have to put a French accent on
Kovalenko?
There? You have to do that. He wore 51, by the way.
Martin Gélinas.
Okay, that's very French-Canadian. I love that part.
Ron Sattel.
Are you going to keep doing that?
Claude Lemieux. I might.
Yes, Lemieux's perfect for that.
Lemieux. Matt Hunwick.
Hunwick. He wore like 10 as well, if I remember right.
Did he?
Yeah, he wore a different number as well. I can check that.
We
can blame him.
Or was it 11? Oh my God. There's just so much that was.
Remember those days?
The blame Hunwick days. And then, and then he went elsewhere and we still blamed him. And they did too.
He could skate fast.
Grimaldi.
Rocco Grimaldi, Steve Konowalczyk.
Steve Konowalczyk.
Zach Redmond. Konowalczyk was fun.
Konowalczyk was.
He's a good player. He was.
Yeah.
Like the way he played the hockey.
Is he still coach in the WHL?
Is it Seattle?
Portland. Portland Winterhawks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine he makes a great coach.
I could see him kind of being like the Jim Playfair, where he's going to lose his backside completely at the refs and then take off his suit and take off his tie and throw it. And
did you see Patrick Waugh go all Patrick Waugh the other day?
No, did he?
He did it again. He's still coaching, and I think he actually rubbed his head against the official's like helmet, got right up in his face. So I think my caption for that was Patrick Waugh is still doing Patrick Waugh things.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, a tiger.
You can take the tiger out of the jungle,
But you can't make him eat. I don't know.
Perfect. We nailed that.
I think that was pretty much it. Cody McCormick.
Yeah, hard-nosed guy. He wore 11 as well.
Cody McCormick, he's one of those guys where it was like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then he went to Buffalo. He was part of a trade. Played okay there. Yeah.
Konowalczyk was also Capitals, right, before the Avs.
That's correct. And then he retired here.
He retired here because of his heart.
Yep. He played with a lot of heart.
Scott Hannon. Scott Hannon. Another guy who was serviceable when he was here, but he was really great when he was with the Sharks.
Didn't he and Ryan Smith signed at the same time. And it was one of those, it was one of those where it's like, all right. Yeah. And then it was like,
I remember that Hannon and Smith, they both signed while I was on a flight.
Okay.
Like
a lot of mullet.
And I got off the plane, checked my phone. I was like, oh,
okay.
All right.
Now we're cooking.
And then, we were just simmering.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Oh, and Colin Wilson.
What do you suppose happened to him? He Colin got Wilson? Hurt. You said groin, right?
No, I assume groin because because
you always think groin.
Sure. Always.
Cause he got hurt during practice or something. He was having a pretty decent season and he hasn't even skated yet.
Sounds like a groin to me.
Sounds like injuries.
Yeah.
Everyone's hurt.
You know who's not hurt? Let's jump right into this. Nathan McKinnon is not hurt. There ain't nothing wrong with that man.
Man, he can do everything.
He's playing some big boy hockey.
He's fabulous.
Yep.
Tyson Barrett, they had a cool interview, a little bit of a storyline during last night's Toronto game, but
was that on the radio? Because it certainly wasn't on my TV.
Sorry. Don't yell at me about it. I'm sorry.
Who's yelling at you? I'm not yelling at you.
I mean, I'll
give you something to cry about.
It's going by you, really, but
I will come over. Hi.
What? Everything's going to be okay.
Is it?
Maybe.
No.
Maybe.
Tell your story about that you watched on your television.
Tyson Barrie was just talking about how Nathan MacKinnon can go by you. Mm-hmm. He can shoot it. Mm-hmm. And he's also, I was comparing him to a little bit to Matt Duchene, and the fact that Duchene never quite got the stop and give it to somebody down pat. He always wanted to shoot, go straight to the net. MacKinnon can do it all. He can leave it for somebody behind the play. I don't know. He plays the game at a different level.
But Duchene, I remember we were talking about that Duchene pivot, that where you could like turn on a dime, and that
but then really, and what? And then what?
Right.
And Nathan MacKinnon supplies the and then what? All
he does. Yeah. Well, the thing is, like with Duchene, is that seems to have really left his game. Mm-hmm. Like it just worked its way out. Maybe it was like really hard on the knees or something. Yeah. But
Duchene's just not a. He's just never been like I think a pass guy. He had a few good passes, but Nathan MacKinnon sees it all, does it all, moves the puck well, plus the pivot.
For a guy with that kind of shot, yeah, it's a lot of times like you'll find an Ovechkin or like earlier Ovechkin where he had that shot all the time. And so he took the shot all the time and he never passed. And now Ovechkin's kind of, you know, his game has expanded a little bit and he'll actually pass the puck.
And so MacKinnon has Nathan MacKinnon. Yep. So has Nathan MacKinnon. It's so much fun to watch and it's going to be interesting to see how much he's worth come his next contract. I was listening to our last show. You brought up some great points as far as you pay him what he's worth at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Avs got a pretty good, they went long-term with him rather than, you know, a little more money, but he's going to get paid. And I hope it's with the Avalanche.
Me too. Yeah. So also speaking of last show, I was like, Burakovsky. Mm. And now I'm like,
well, the thing is though, too, I think we said the same thing about Tyson Jost. We talked about Tyson Jost, Burakovsky, Don Cherry, like sometimes it gets a little crazy in our show because when we talk about things.
We talked about John Cherry and then we're going to talk about Don Cherry again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What the heck?
Tyson Jost as well. Tyson, we were wondering when Tyson Jost was going to be Tyson Jost and then he gets his first career hat trick on October 19th against the Lightning. So good job with him. He got hurt. I was able to go to one of the practices between appointments at work and I watched he and TJ Tynan. Yeah, TJ Tynan work out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of skill on both of those guys who are, I want to say, quote unquote, just third liners, it's ridiculous to watch these guys move and how their hand-eye coordination, it's on a whole nother level. And these guys aren't factors night in, night out for the Avs.
Well, the thing with it is that at this level, you better have some skill no matter what. I mean, even your fourth liner, it better have a couple of moves and a few things, you know, and now, especially now with fourth liners are actually becoming a lot more valuable than they used to be.
I think just sometimes they don't, especially the third and fourth line guys, you don't get to see them show off that skill as much because obviously they're not playing as much. And plus it's tougher with the defense out there. So it was Mark Barberio, TJ Tynan and Tyson Jost working on the half of the ice that I was watching the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say out of maybe 75 pucks that say Tyson Jost could have tipped from the point, he only missed a handful of them. He was knocking down everything. And anybody who's tried to stand in front of the net and knock down a shot from the point, it's not easy. That puck's not as large as it looks on television sometimes. And I was just super impressed. It was fun to watch that kind of in their own element. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 20 games, 4 goals, 4 assists. So it's hot and cold.
It's not bad, but then you got a guy like Andre Burakovsky, who had 12 goals the last 3 years in Washington, and he has 11 so far this season. Looking great, but he's getting a chance to play in certain situations that he otherwise wouldn't have.
Oh, yeah.
He's taking advantage, which is good.
Yeah. We'll see what happens when Rantanen and Landeskog come back, which I believe Rantanen's skating.
He's close.
Is Landeskog skating?
No, I haven't. He still has a boot on. People saw him at the game last night, and he's not skating. But they're saying Rantanen could be back by, I think, the end of this week.
Nice.
That would help a lot, although they haven't been bad without him. But guys like Yanis Donskoy and guys like Andre Burakovsky playing good hockey, and it's good to see they have that in them.
Yep.
And hopefully when everybody comes back, the chemistry will keep going.
I did of all those top guys, Donskoy's -3.
That's interesting.
Everybody else is like either like Nieto's zero, and then everybody else in that upper echelon is still plus. Eric Johnson is minus four. Gerard minus two. Okay, well, yeah. You're a defenseman. That happens, you know.
Avs have struggled a little bit. If there's one thing that I've noticed in the games that I've watched is they have a hard time getting the puck out of their own zone. And I think right now they're getting pretty lucky with the goaltending playing as well as they have. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is something you want to make a long-term thing, though. And I'm not quite sure what I don't know enough about hockey as a fan to figure out exactly what they're trying to do and trying not to do. But it can get a little bit ugly.
How are we feeling about the goaltending right now? I'm a little concerned.
I was thinking about your jersey collection the other day, though, too, and the fact that this is the first time, this was within 20 games, this is the first time the Avs have had four different goaltenders earn a win in a season since 2005-2006. So that was Budaj, Theodore, Kolesnik, and you have the Kolesnik in your collection. So
that was played in that year.
There was one more. I don't know. I'll check, though.
Okay.
It's been pretty good. I mean, Adam Werner came in Winnipeg, had that 40-save shutout, which was ridiculous.
Right.
The next game in Edmonton, both he and the other dude, Antoine Bebo, came in. They looked human. But overall, Francois and...
That was the game that McDavid had like 6 points. I mean...
Just no problem.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's McDavid. We saw McDavid. The only time we've seen him live was his rookie season in a rookie camp kind of tournament thing. And even watching him then, we were just like, oh my God, this guy's the real deal.
Yeah.
This guy's phenomenal.
Yeah. He can play. He and Draisaitl make quite the 1-2 punch, although the Avalanche have their own 1-2 punches. I'm also checking goaltenders
from 2006.
David Abisher.
Abby. Yeah. So he was still there.
He was still there.
That was the year of the trade.
Okay. Yeah. Theodore Kolesnik, Budaj, Abisher. Good times.
Yeah.
We're old. The goaltending has been pretty sharp. Last night was an exception. It was the first time I think Philip Grubauer had given up four goals in a period in his entire career.
4-on-11?
Yeah. It was the Avs went to sleep for John Michael Lyles was saying it last night for about 8 minutes. And in the NHL, most of the time you can't afford to do that. So no. It looked good the rest of the game, but it was just one of those nights.
Yeah, as Mike Babcock would say.
Was that a shocker? That was interesting.
That was interesting. I
I was like, whoa.
I was shocked when he got his big contract, and then I'm a little shocked, but if there's a team that can afford to pay out a guy $5 million a year for doing nothing, you know, for a sofa, it's the Leafs. No, you know what? Honestly, there's a part of me that isn't. What's a shocker is that everybody still thinks everything's great, you know, because they spend a lot of money on some really high-priced talent, and then they have nothing else, you know, below it. I mean, it's just so they're that's a cap crunch right there, and you just wonder why would you build a team that way?
That's interesting.
You know, there's so much high priced talent on there that you can't afford anything else. And it's the anything else that's killing you. And then you got a guy who's a control freak as their, you know, I mean, would you put John Tortorella in there?
Oh, no.
Hell no.
Yeah. It takes a special group of players for a Tortorella type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and everybody's going, well, where would he land? And I figure either the Seattle Krakens, or
is that what you're going with?
Well, that's what a lot of people are going
Krakens? With. Krakens. Okay.
Yeah. Until it's not.
I can't remember the other ones that I liked, but okay, we'll go with Krakens.
The Neptunes.
No. Yeah. Don't even. I've heard he's going to take a little time.
The Woodpeckers.
Off.
Or because Tom Robbins is from there.
Okay.
Woodpecker with something. It was one of his books. Anyways, like it's a stretch. And or my other thought was the Minnesota Wild when Boudreaux eventually.
Okay.
But, you know.
It's interesting.
Here's the thing. Ahead. Like Babcock only, like you look at his winning his record. He's got great regular season stats, and then look at all the what was it they were saying? Like 9 of the last 10 years, they didn't make like his teams either didn't make the playoffs or they didn't have a first round win in the playoffs. Like these, there's a lot of drought there from when he won the cup.
Yeah,
So it's like,
It's interesting. The culture's changed a little bit too, in the fact that a guy like Babcock and how he manages the team long ago, that wouldn't have been talked about. They just would have been, you know, we wish him the best. Now everything comes out. Mm. And now they interview Nazem Kadri and he says, you know, I talked to the GM and for his trade. And it's interesting how the players are willing to share a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that impacts things. Their GM's about 15 years old.
Yeah.
I think he's way younger than Babcock, which I think creates kind of a weird dynamic too. Not that older is necessarily better, but Kadri came out and called out the GM and said, you know, he talked to me for about 45 seconds when I spent 9 or 10 years in that uniform and told me I was traded and that was it. And he didn't like that at all. So yeah. I don't know. It's interesting the types of things that come out. Mike Commodore have you seen some of his tweets about Babcock?
Yeah.
Wow. Like they must have obviously had a falling out or whatever. And Commodore is just going nuts on him on social media. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's a different culture for sure. Things have changed.
I did see, I think it was Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun saying there's a lot of people in Detroit and a lot of people in the Leafs, like former Leafs and current Leafs, that have absolutely no need for Babcock. They don't want to talk to him. They don't want to deal with him at all.
It's interesting.
And he said, you know, you don't have to be the nicest guy to have a good record. It's like, you know what, you're right, but
Scotty Bowman comes to mind, but you know, we saw one side of Scotty Bowman when other people saw others, so I don't know, but maybe it's the rivalry in me talking. But
the thing about Scotty Bowman that I heard that I always remembered was that he didn't run his own practices. He didn't want, and some people attributed his longevity with teams to that, because he said he felt that if he was constantly talking to them during the practices, they're going to tune him out during the games.
Interesting.
And so he wanted to save the useful stuff. You know, he'd make plans for his assistants and he'd watch practice, but he didn't actually like get on the ice much.
Interesting.
Stuff like that, you know, so.
That's really interesting.
And then somebody from the Red Wings would be like, that's not true.
You idiot. But the thing is.
Well, they'd be right. You know, you idiot. Yes.
I'm okay. Yeah. Can we talk about other things?
Yeah. Given.
But I think those little culture things, when it comes down to crunch time, when it comes down to the playoffs, whether the team starts to take off and move one direction or not, that all comes out in the playoffs. I mean, you get to see what a team is really made of during the playoffs. Not that teams that totally underperform are absolutely terrible, but you know, show me a team during the playoffs and I'll show you, you know, what they're really about. And sometimes that coach player relationship, if it's not good, it's not going to help out anything in the playoffs. Yeah. If you make it in the first place,
it reminds me of Moneyball, like the movie Moneyball. I never read the book and I don't know how accurate the movie is to, some of the things, but like that the GM was building this team and even the manager was like, what are you doing?
Yep.
And I'm not going that direction. And then finally he fired the guys that he wouldn't, he was like, I don't want you playing this guy. Well, I'm going to play this guy because I'm the manager and his team. Great. He's traded. Now you have to play that guy. And when they finally started playing the team the way that it was built, then they had success.
Yeah.
And in a way, I mean, like the Avalanche, kind of the same thing. It's like, if you just throw a bunch of crap at it and any old coach, you know, good, bad, indifferent. Patrick Waugh was not, I don't think he was a very successful coach here. And maybe some of that had to do with, like, what I call the Gretzky in Glendale factor. Meg brought this up to me, my girlfriend. She was like, well, you know, the thing is, when people go and play in Arizona, there's Wayne Gretzky, right? He's standing behind the other team's bench, you know, so you're going to up your game a little bit. And if you play for Wayne Gretzky 82 games a year, you're like, yeah, that's my coach.
Yeah.
And you can't do that for 82 games. So people come in and they were like, I'm going to show this guy what I can do. And you have that night after night against your team, you're kind of hosed.
So interesting. I don't know. There's a lot of factors that go into it for sure.
So, you know, and now the Avalanche, they kind of like, they address needs rather than just, you know, throwing something against the wall and seeing what sticks.
I think they can afford to do that too. They've bought themselves some time with like a Cale Makar pick, where you have a year or two where he can develop and prove himself. And we'll talk about him in a second, but you can make those first round picks that don't need to jump directly into the lineup and have this huge impact for a team that hasn't been good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they can take their time and develop and come up when they're ready, rather than when the team needs them. And sometimes when those two things aren't addressed, It creates a big mess. You've got teams that have been getting good players for years now that don't get any better, and those players end up burning themselves out, and they end up having mediocre careers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Joe Sakic has done a good job putting that together with a coach like Jared Bednar, and things have been pretty good, and they continue to move in a pretty good direction.
And you wonder, like, where, like, I kind of thinking about, like, okay, you've got this high-priced guy in Babcock who, you know, and oh, this guy, he's the greatest. We got to get him in, right? And then you got Quenneville who's going down to Florida, and they're finally starting to put it together.
Playing a little bit like better, yeah.
Versus, at the time, an unproven guy in Bednar, and who came up through the system, and, you know, what's the better, what's the solution? Sometimes it's one thing, sometimes it's another.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's a gamble.
Look at what happened in Vegas, you mm-hmm. know, and that was a guy who was in Florida, and they felt he didn't work out there, and they were kind of wrong because he wasn't all that flashy. And then the next guy they bring in, it definitely didn't work out.
A lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. You got to get lucky. A lot of it's a gamble, yeah. But we like what we're seeing so far for sure. Kale McCarr.
He's all right.
He's pretty good. We could probably do about half a show just on some of the mm-hmm. numbers he's putting up. He's putting up historical rookie defenseman numbers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been able to watch him?
I've watched some.
What do you think?
I think he much quicker than Shattenkirk did.
Oh yeah.
Much quicker than a lot of these bring him up from college defensemen mm-hmm. did. He altered his game very quickly. You really saw kind of like that college style in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit early here, but his game has definitely shifted towards the NHL and away from the college style.
Totally.
And he had to. He absolutely had to. That was one of my complaints about Shattenkirk, was how he still played a small body, use your stick, never your body kind of game. Not a get in front of the guy, but like, what can you know, you're going to throw a poke check, then a hit. Mm-hmm. And you got to know when to do those things. And Kale McCarr has adapted really fast.
I agree.
He was only a number four pick, not number one. Oh,
exactly.
Bummer.
I think again, buying himself some time and bringing him up when he was ready mm-hmm. and hey, you want to go back to college, or we expect you to go back to college. Cool. Go back, prove that you can play a little bit, be the best player in the nation, lead your mm-hmm. team the national championship game. Come on in. And defensively, obviously it's going to take some work. And I think that the team as a whole has struggled a little bit defensively. Mm-hmm. But whatever he lacks on the defensive end, which will develop just fine offensively, he's well beyond what I think anybody obviously expected him to be.
Yeah.
Some of the shots and the passes and him quarterbacking the power play as a, you know, he's got what, 30, a little over 30 NHL games, including the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to see how well he's done so far.
Who is being the other quarterback right now?
I think it's Gerard.
And so where's that leave Johnson? You know, that's kind of an interesting,
yeah.
You know, how much room is there? And there's only so much room at the top. And
exactly. And that, and I think it just proves how I guess good or how essential that Tyson Barry move was as well. Mm-hmm. It's just you can get way more and a lot more potential from McCarr at a cheaper rate, at least for right now. And that's just kind of a no-brainer. Some people lost their minds as far as trading Barry, but the timing worked out, and it just seems it. And I know everybody keeps saying it. It seems to have worked out. Yeah. They'll lose their minds anyway.
Well, they were losing their minds that he wasn't traded before that.
Yeah,
and that's true. And they get traded, the other half loses their minds. So it's like
people are going to lose their mind anyway. But it seems to have worked out fairly well for both teams. Nazem Kadri has been as advertised. Mm-hmm. He takes silly penalties every once in a while because he's a passionate player, but he can also finish, and he's had a pretty decent year so far. So
there's goals. That. 10 points, you know, he's fourth in scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fourth in points. So, you know,
he can play a little bit, but you know, it's, I don't know. I think that's just the game he's going to play. And he knows it. Everybody else knows it. You just have to be ready mm-hmm. for it. So
third in points right now, Burakovsky.
Yeah.
Fourth, Kadri. Fifth, Donskoy. There's your secondary scoring that they needed really badly. And injuries meant that secondary scoring had to become first-tiery, first-tiery,
first scoring,
first-tiery.
I was trying to count how many different people had scored goals. Ian Cole has not scored. Colin Wilson's been hurt, so he's not scored. Tynan, Barbario, Logan O'Connor. Everybody else has scored a hockey puck.
Yeah,
exactly what you just said, though. It's second secondary scoring when that's really all you've had. But hopefully Matt Calvert will be back sometime fairly soon, too. Let's see.
Yeah.
You ever been hit in the head with a puck?
So, yes, but only where in the cage. I took a shot.
Ring your bell a little bit?
No.
You were fine.
Because I was wearing a cage, and I cannot imagine these guys in rec league hockey. And it was rec league, you know? And so it was like a 16-year-old who took a good shot, and I fell down right in front of the crease, looked forward, and bing.
Here it comes.
Right? Yeah.
Could you see it coming?
From about 3 feet away.
It's here.
Bang. Oh, that's why I wear a cage. I saw a guy take a slap shot in the visor. The visor bent in, cut and broke the guy's nose, the bridge of his nose. It's insane.
I know.
And this was an over 40 league. The guy's name who shot, his last name was Cannon, and he had a cannon. His slap shot was amazingly hard.
Yeah.
He hit me in the foot one time, and I was lucky to have those plastic guards over the front because it just went pink and off. And I was like, if that had hit me in the foot, I would have been limping off, if not have lost, you know, like broken a foot at that point. I could have lost my foot.
Your foot would have exploded. Let's back up just a little bit. November 16th.
But we were talking about me.
End of the game. Matt Calvert takes a slap shot off the kind of the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
He's bleeding, struggling on the ice.
I didn't actually see the blood.
I didn't see the blood till after the Matt Sokolowski, the trainer guy, took off his helmet. I didn't see it either, but he was obviously struggling. He was obviously in trouble.
Yeah.
The Canucks score that shift. They score the next shift, and then Nathan MacKinnon does what he does during overtime. Big controversy, though, as far as should that have been blown dead? And a lot of thoughts out there, and I think the players, I will link to this, Sportsnet ran some interviews with some players in the NHL, and every single one of them was like, you got to blow that dead. But the rule says you can't blow it dead unless the injury is obviously serious or the team whose player is down gains control of the puck, like on a delayed penalty.
I think, there's two things about this. I want to see where the refs actually were. Because if I remember correctly, the puck came off of Calvert's head and right back onto the guy's stick. Now, I'm not saying that they wouldn't have seen the shot, but like, you know, you screen a goalie. I mean, refs get screened all the time for things. And that's part of why some calls get not called, because we're looking at a totally different angle from the television than they are. So I would want to see where those guys are. But I think the rule needs to be altered then. No matter what, if you take a puck above the shoulders, just blow it dead. Just blow it dead. And it's a scoring opportunity isn't worth it.
I think if the rule is changed that way, the fans will... Because I know what would have happened if they would have blown it dead. They would have booed. And this is Vancouver as well. They're pretty boisterous there. It was loud. It was towards the end of the game. They were down by two. The Avalanche had... Vancouver had their goaltender pulled. So it was loud as well. On the on-ice mics, you could hear Pedersen's shot hit Calvert in the helmet. You could hear that. I don't know whether the officials could hear that though either.
Right.
And so there's that as well.
And everybody was saying, well, he was bleeding. It was like, I never saw blood on the ice, and that just doesn't.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it wasn't there, if he's like crumpled down and the blood is under him, they may not know. I just say blow it dead. If it hits somebody above the head, blow it dead.
They altered the
icing rule.
Oh yeah.
Because people are getting
hurt. Yeah.
Do the same thing. It's not a big deal. It's not a huge rule change. And you know what? In a year, nobody will miss it.
No. And as long as the fans understand that.
Who cares if the fans understand?
Well, here's the thing though, is that if the rule's clear, like right now it's super subjective, and that's what's confusing. And that's what frustrates everybody. But you know, he has to be seriously injured. What does that look like? You know?
Right.
One of the players also brought up a great point. It says if an official gets hit in the head and they go down like Calvert did and they were struggling,
do they
continue play? No, they don't. They blow it dead.
Yeah.
And the other side of the coin came up was like, what if people try to fake injuries then late in the game when other teams are trying to score or whatever?
Great, give them a penalty.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's the deal with that when you see it. But one of the players, I can't remember who it all was, but I'll link the story. But they were like, that's not how hockey players work.
That's how like a few hockey players work.
That, you know, just a couple.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, if Sean Avery were still around, that would be one. You
this
know?
Is true.
But there are some like that now. There are those antagonizers who, you know, who
what
do
they
that
do.
Crap.
That's what they do.
Could I see Cody Perry or Perry do that? Corey Perry, sorry.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But
he'd tell you that too, probably.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah.
I'll do that. Why?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing though. There is a rule for that. It's called delay of game. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, you stopped it. You had a stoppage by faking an injury. Yeah, that's a delay of game. Get in the box.
And I'd say the league could say they could reserve the right to review that afterward if you're not given a penalty, given mm-hmm. a fine or a suspension or whatever it is.
And, I mean, and diving is basically what it is. Yeah. So there's a rule for that.
I'd rather have it that way than, you know, everybody kept bringing up, what if those 30 seconds or 45 seconds are what Matt Calvert needed in order to get the care that he needed? And you don't, like, that would be so terrible for the game to have something big happen mm-hmm. When you're trying to go after off a subjective rule in the rule book. Like, Nathan MacKinnon had a great interview afterwards. It reminded me of Gabriel Landeskog after Game 7 in San Jose. And he was like, look, it's not the ref's fault. You know, it's the rules. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good point. He was frustrated. So was Jared Bednar, but they did a really good job not losing their minds and trying to stir it up and things like that. And glad Matt Calvert is pretty much okay. He was under protocol. They sent him home from that road trip. Hopefully he'll be back by this week, I think is what Bednar said last night. But just unfortunate, and it was ugly. But the Avs won the game, which is good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it led to a couple of goals, which, you know, I think if Vancouver hadn't scored, it wouldn't be as big of a deal as it was, but they mm-hmm. scored on that shift and then the next shift after that. So, all right. So we're in agreement there.
We are.
I think pretty much everybody is. That's just one of those things.
Have you ever gotten a sports concussion?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
So probably.
I caught for enough years. I bet you I might have had a couple of foul tips or something like that. Yeah, maybe one or two.
Yeah. Your eyes. This is an audio podcast.
How about you? I know. Job. I just thought I'd entertain you there for a second. Nicely done. Have you?
Yes, one.
How did that go?
Poorly. I was so playing a rec league game, and I had the puck by the circle or by the faceoff dot, and I passed it up to the point, and then I skated backwards towards the net. And I remember that there was some animosity between our team and the other team. Like there were some words said here and there. And I passed it, and I'm backing up towards the net and like looking for, okay, is there going to be another pass? Is there going to be a tip? Is there going to, where's, you know, watching where the puck is. And somebody stuck their stick behind my legs. And I fell over right onto my head.
And you're like, hey, there's my feet.
And I slammed my head. And the first thing that went through my head was, don't poop yourself. Just don't poop yourself.
Excellent work, brain.
Which I didn't. And,
okay, good.
And the guy, so they, you know, people like, you know, are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, what happened? And they were like, well, you guys got a goal. And I was like,
of course we did.
I was like, what? And he said, yeah, you just got an assist. And I was like,
I know. I knew that.
Oh, okay. And I went back to the bench and I tried to sit down on the bench and I kind of overshot the bench. So, and then I did a shootout attempt later, which was dumb.
Do you remember that? Or
I do. And I missed.
Did you go the other way and shoot on your own goaltender?
I shot the right way. And then for like the next 3 days, just everything seemed like it was. Had really soft edges, and I was just kind of
that is not
staring
good.
Off into space. My brain felt like I was staring off, like it was staring off into space.
That's bad.
And then I was fine after that.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, I never want that to happen again. So when I played, you know, I played rec league. Come on. Mm-hmm. I would never compare, blah, blah, blah. But when I played, I armored up. I mean, I remember I broke my shin guards, and I got new shin guards, and they were Bowers. The new ones were Bowers, and I fell twice on them and hurt my knees. Like banged my knees. I was like, nope, going back to the Eastons, and found like the chunkiest, you know, best ones I could get. And same with everything. I just armored up. I replaced my helmet, the whole deal. I was like, I can't afford to be, you know, to take a real injury like that. concussions. I mean, it was like compared to like what these guys do.
Oh man.
It's like nothing. And you know, and still it sucked out loud. It was no fun. I'd never want to do that.
The Calvert in slow-mo was hard to watch as far as, you know, Pedersen went one way and Calvert whipped around to catch him on the other side. And before he knows it, you know, basically sticks his head in front of the shot.
And that's the thing, it's the blocking shots in the NHL. I mean, these guys have 100 mile an hour shots.
They can't help it. They're wired that way. Like,
well, and their coaches are demanding it. And it's absolutely a toughness thing and all of that. And I'm just like, and you have no you know, some of these guys have no visor. Mm-hmm. Most of them do now. I think it's like 85 or 90% of the league now has visors.
I think it's mandated.
It was grandfathered in. Right, so the people, you know, are aging out that don't, but, regardless, it's just like, even just a visor to me is, I would never play without a cage. Never.
It's crazy.
I'm already down a few teeth and it wasn't, you know, not even hockey related, and I would still never play without full cage.
No, thank you. No, thank you. That won't be us. That that can be other people.
God bless.
All right.
Sorry. That was a while. Sorry. That was a while.
Well, you had a concussion. Yeah.
I may have one right now. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
A podcast concussion. Those can happen.
I did knock my head into the microphone earlier. So.
That was the best sound ever, folks. The best. You're just going to have to trust me.
Oh, I wish I were recording at that point. Anyways.
It's still just as amazing. One other thing you put in our notes for sure. Yeah. Wins and losses don't matter anymore in the regular season. All people want is points.
That's it. Points. It's a points-based league. And it's amazing to me. Like if one of the nice things, the upside of the charity point is that you can lose a game and still get a point and be like, oh, well, at least we got a point. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like all anybody cares about is points, getting that point total. The win, great. Yep. Wins are gravy in a way, as long as you get a point. I mean, and if you get 2 points, yes, that's a win, but they care. All we care about is 2 points. We want 2 points. You hear from the players all the time. There's 2 points on the line. Dude, there's a win on the line. You know,
how about interesting? That? So interesting.
So, you know, I just thought it was really interesting because we were listening, you know, like, and we were talking Mike Babcock, the Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun had an article. It was linked to by Kukul's Corner. That's how I found it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
We'll link this up in the
anytime you lose, it's a concern. Babcock said, you're in a points business. You've got to get points. And he's not wrong. That's the thing.
No, it's not wrong. But like,
if 96 points get you into the playoffs, you know, then every time you lose in overtime, you're still advancing closer to the playoffs. So
I guess when you have a team, when you follow a team as closely like the Avs, like we do, and they talk about playoff implications, every point matters. Mm-hmm. I mean, game one, if you give away a point,
right.
That could, so yeah, he's right in a sense, but it is kind of discouraging when people aren't talking about wins and losses.
No,
it's just collecting points and giving like, away points and gaining points.
Yeah. It's the collective, you know, it's kind of that collective, stats thing, you know, mm-hmm. where the advanced stats, where what are you paying attention to? Mm-hmm. And if it's just the numbers, then what you care about is the points, not the wins. Yeah. And you care about the wins to get the points. But if you're going to lose, do it in overtime, you know, get it to that point. That's just in a way, that's just as important. You get more from a win, but you still get points if you lose in overtime. Points.
So different.
It's weird. It's like And it doesn't make a lot of sense when you say it at first. You're like, okay, yeah, but you get points from winning. Yeah, but you're also getting a point from losing if you do it right. So what are you going for here?
I don't know. I wonder what the league thinks about that. They just care that people are excited or there, right?
Well, I guess. I mean, but you know, we were talking last year. Remember how we were talking about the streakiness of the league? And right now the Avs are kind of playing that streakiness. Yep. They had a great winning streak for, you know, to start, and then they had a six game losing streak,
something like that. Yeah. But they had some overtime losses in there that people,
points,
there you go.
Points. Yeah. You know, so when you have such a streaky league and a streaky time, you best be getting points along with it.
It's true. Speaking of analytics and everything, shout out to Sean Tierney. He's on Twitter at Charting Hockey. He does a great job using Tableau, which is a graphing tool. Okay. To visualize the newer analytics, and it's really cool kind of what he does. I will make sure to put a link to his Twitter feed in the post for the show.
Okay.
But you started talking about analytics, and all those numbers don't make sense in my head because I've been watching hockey before those became a thing.
Right.
But he does a good job of putting it into terms where I can understand them, and I want to share that with
you. Does he use marshmallow peeps to illustrate anything?
He does not, but I know really smart people that have done that before.
I don't know anybody.
But really cool.
Who's got two thumbs and is done? Illustrate goals with peeps. This guy.
Got it. Great. It's a great follow. Really does a good job of explaining it. Right now, his best explanation for the Avalanche is that they're lucky, is that they're playing lucky hockey, and the fact that they're not getting a whole lot of quality scoring chances, but they're being able to score goals on chances that aren't quality. So they're doing well right now. And that's a promising, I think that's the only reason why they are where they are right now in the standings.
Sure.
Especially with these guys out missing. So just one of those things.
Sure. It's not Cale Makar.
No, not Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon at all.
Nope.
Nope. But getting Landeskog and Rantanen back, I don't think that'll hurt at all.
No.
So, what else? Anything else?
We were going to talk about Don Cherry real fast.
Don Cherry. We talked about him last show.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Yeah. Don Cherry. He got two Don Cherry.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You know, I thought I'd have something and I really don't. You know, it's just none of it's good overall.
No.
I think that there was a lot of heat thrown at the guy that does the show, does it with him, Ron McClain.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a little unfair.
Yeah.
Ron McClain can talk himself out of just about anything.
Yeah, and then he did. He had that apology.
But you know, you're in the moment.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do?
Your friend says something pretty jackassy.
Mm-hmm.
You're on national television, and then you're not called out for calling him out in front of millions of people watching and embarrassing him. And I thought that was a little unfair and, you know, disingenuous of the watching public. I thought I'd have something. I just, you know, it's just a sad situation overall.
It's unfortunate.
And the one thing that I would say is that Don Cherry has always had a reputation of, you know, talking down people who are not what he thinks should be the ideal player.
Mm-hmm.
That he goes along and says, well, you know, it should be, you know, our good old Ontario boys and stuff like that. Remember how I used to diss on Europeans for being soft and for wearing visors and stuff like that. And I get that, you know, you want your one way of doing things, but there was a history, and he got called out on the history somewhat and still was given a pretty big platform and that it took for this to be the thing that took him off the air. It's on him, but it's also on the people before him that worked with him that didn't say, look, you have to use this platform wisely too.
Yeah.
You know, and so
that's kind of his responsibility.
It's a media, you know, there used to be for a while there, I used to think that there was no such thing as, you know, that like when people say there's no such thing as bad publicity, I thought, nah, I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And one of the things with the internet was, oh, you know, everybody's going to have a camera, so bad behavior can get called out. Mm-hmm. And what we didn't realize was how much people would celebrate bad behavior.
Yeah.
And Don Cherry was kind of one of those things where people celebrated this thing that he did that was not good.
Yeah.
And then finally it caught up to him. And I'm shocked it took as long as it did. And I wish that it had happened in a better way. Yeah. I wish that, you know, maybe somebody would have said, hey, Don, you're getting a little out of control here.
Yeah.
And maybe Don Cherry wasn't, you know, maybe somebody did and he just isn't, you know, Don Cherry doesn't seem like a listener to me. You know,
No.
Yeah.
For as long as he's been doing what he's done.
Yeah.
And had a lot of success with it.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how you define success.
Yeah.
He's got an audience and that's what he's always wanted and needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate. An interesting situation for sure.
Yeah.
End of an era. Was it a good era? I don't know.
Eh.
Not quite sure.
All right. So that's it. Yeah. I guess we're kind of ending on a downer.
Well, we can always go back to the shout outs.
Shout outs. Hit the shout outs.
Should I hit the shout outs?
Hit the shout outs. Why wouldn't you hit the shout outs?
Shout out to my man, Andy and Lobo, for helping me watch hockey. I'm just going to leave it at that. Shout out to Hirsch, my man. Got us some stickers. We're going to get some stickers working out towards the public. I need to bring you your stickers. You're gonna love the stickers. Shout out to golf buddy John Waldman. Hopefully he's out there listening.
Is he playing golf right now?
No, he should probably. He might be, actually. He should do golf before it snows a foot on tomorrow night, because we're not going to be playing golf for a while.
Nope.
Shout out to coworker Ondine Bruner, who I heard on the podcast that I'm just about to mention. She wrote into the show, said, "Hey, I love listening to your show. I drive around a lot for my job. Thank you for everything you do to Steve and Jeff, the hosts of the show." And I was like, that sounds like, I don't know many people named Ondine and who drive around a lot. And I was like, I wonder if that's the same person. And it was her. So
does she listen to our show?
Not yet. She doesn't know that our show's a thing yet.
Wow.
So I'm going to see her tomorrow at a meeting, and I'm just going to say, "Hey, I don't know how this is all going to go down."
Are you going to give a presentation on "This is the Avs Hockey Podcast and you all should be listening"?
Hello, Hi. Everyone. Do you like podcasts? Do you like hockey? Then this is for you.
Let me show you some bullet points.
So let's press play. and then also, From the Cheap Seats podcast, done by Steve Stager and Jeff Sawtell from 9 News and here in Denver. Mm-hmm. A fun podcast. I've been listening to it, and I think what I like about it the most is that they are fans like you and me. They're not bloggers. They're not paid extra to do this. I think they just love it because they share season tickets, and they just love the Avalanche. Nice. So shout out to Justin Goldman, who was on the show talking about him being an emergency backup goaltender for the Avalanche and the other teams that come in. And also they interviewed the guy who suited up for the Avalanche when Pavel Francouz was knocked out in Winnipeg.
I always want to say Francouz.
I know. They were saying it last night on the CBC feed. It was Francouz, and Pavel Francouz has said how to say it, and whatever.
I mean, hope he would say how to say it. It's his own name.
I think that would be good.
Like, and me saying my last name and not.
Yeah. Sometimes the players,
how do you say my last name?
Graylian.
There you go.
Sometimes people don't ask the players how to say their own names. And you know, how hockey players are, they're like, whatever.
Oh, you mean like, what's her name?
What's her name?
God. Yeah. If I could only remember names ever. Julie Brownman.
Yeah.
Remember how she used to mangle?
Yeah.
Mangle.
It's kind of entertaining, but you know, it's somebody's name.
Mangle names.
So they interviewed the.
Like, you work for the team. These are your coworkers.
You got it. You can do it. That, oh, man.
I was waiting for her to call like Mark Mosier Mouser or something. You know, she's terrible.
Well, there was the play by play guy in between Haynes and Mosier. There was one guy they got from like Florida. He only lasted 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Same type deal. They interviewed Rodney. I don't know his last name, but he was the penalty box attendant for the Avs from when they started to like 2004, had some awesome stories. So
nice.
Yeah, they get some cool people in. So check out that podcast. I'll link it up in the post. Cool. So those are my shout outs.
Excellent. Good job.
Shout out to Pete's Kitchen, of course, too.
Sure.
No onions this morning.
No onions this morning.
So good.
Finally.
Oh, so good.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at avshockeypodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
We got links. We got ways to subscribe. We got hashtags that don't work, shirts that you can buy if you really care, but nobody does. Links to Instagram. If you don't know what the old Instagram logo looks like, well, it's there. It's kind of like an archive. It's
check
like
it out.
It's like the internet of old, and by old, I mean like 3 years ago. Come on, people.
Do it.
Jay has things on there, links, videos, stuff. You can play. You can play. You should play. You must play. Avs Twitter Psychic. Because, you know, you can get a shout out. I mean, for God's sake, you can get a retweet. Those things are like gold. Nobody retweets anymore. like nothing. Nobody does.
We do. Shout out to everybody playing Avs Twitter Psychic out there. So much fun.
Good job, both of you.
Thank you, friends. Both of you.
Both of you. And there's a link to something called Avs Chat, which we haven't done in forever. So I don't bother.
I should probably take that off. I think we're good.
I think so.
It's one big ad chat anyway. Ev's chat anyway.
That okay. It?
What else?
We done?
You're going to bang your head on the microphone?
I did that already.
That was awesome.
It's a soft nugget here.
Organic with, man, that was the best. The iPad has been touched.
Yep.
Fists are bumping. Yep. And that's it.
Do you even use that iPad anymore?
I use it all the time. But when it comes to here, I just take out my Surface Pro and It just sits here until somebody touches it.
It's the whole thing. It's a prop.
It's tradition.
It's a damn prop.
No, it's not.
I've got two iPads in front of me for this. And yours just sits there like,
It's our routine.
I remember when I was used.
It's back been in so the day. Long. We forgot to, somebody posted some kind of the
iOS 2.
Some kind of the, there was a GIF of the old lady. It's been so long.
Sorry, so what?
What?
It's a what?
Don't do this.
I'm doing this.
It's a GIF, GIF.
Hate you.
The feeling is likewise when the Nichushkin scored last night.
There was a GIF.
It's been so long. So shout out to Valeri Nichushkin.
Nichushkin.
I just did the Julie Brownman. Damn it.
It's okay. For a while, I was like, yeah, we got Nichushkin in. No.
Nah, that's a different guy.
That's a guy who scores hockey pucks.
That's a totally different dude. That's
such a different guy.
Final thoughts?
No. I mean, I look forward to maybe watching a few more games here and there.
I knew that was going that direction.
Yeah, you knew it was going that direction. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I want them to figure it out. But also, I feel bad for Avs fans having to watch on now because they're probably all they're getting are those stupid commercials. Comcast doesn't care about Avs fans. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, and you hit your head on your microphone. Good job.
My head was down in shame. It's just frustrating.
It is frustrating.
Okay.
I mean, it's, I'll tell you, it beats having a lockout.
Yeah, that's true. But, now that you put it that way,
you know, still,
it's still not fun.
Yeah. I mean, my television gets turned on probably 3-4 times a week and that's about it. And mostly for Avs games.
Me too.
And these days I just don't watch much television. So I'm paying a bunch of money for cable that is not showing the really one or two thing, you know, the thing that I really want to watch. So that just sucks. What I will watch today, though, I believe today is the Grey Cup.
Oh yeah, that is today.
Yes.
Football where you can do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Where they have the rouge.
Yeah.
Folks, the rouge. You can score 1 point in a football game. 1 point.
And the goalposts are at the front of the end zone. Mm-hmm. So you can slam people against them.
Yep.
I don't know. It's kind of fun.
I don't even know who's playing right now. Who is it going to be? Oh, it's Hamilton in Winnipeg.
Of course.
Wow.
I bet you it's cold.
Yeah.
All right. Enjoy your Grey Cup.
Thanks.
Cool.
Yep. I'll be able to watch more CFL football than I can Avs hockey. How sad is that?
Hopefully things change for the next show. All right. I think that's about it for episode number 122 of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
And stuff.
Thank you for your time. Thanks for downloading the show. And until next time, for James, Tape Like Grayley, and I'm Jay Bean. Take care. Go Avs go. We'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
Took the effort and time. Why are you doing that with your eyebrows?
Because they're pretty good.
Your eyebrows?